As we are winding down our Advent season, we should all have our preparation time completed, right? The response at 8:30 was, oh, yeah, sure. So, no last minute things to be done, everything is ready. We also have all taken the necessary spiritual time to make absolutely sure that our hearts are ready to receive him. After all, isn't that what all the Christmas parties with this group and that group were preparing us for? To receive Jesus this Christmas. And isn't it funny how the world's views tend to cloud the beauty of this holy Advent and upcoming Christmas season? Like many of you, I wonder whether I have truly prepared myself for his coming again. And I ask myself whether I would be able to recognize him if he were standing right in front of me. Now, for those who have watched the Chosen series, images of Jesus looking like the actor Jonathan Rumi flash through my mind. But would Jesus be recognizable if he came tomorrow? I question my own knowledge, my own faith, my own abilities. I question my preparation, or better yet, my lack thereof. If Jesus, my Lord and Savior, were standing right before me, what would my reaction be? Would I, like the people of old, truly be someone who longs for the presence of Jesus in our midst? Advent is that time of preparation, and it is not over yet. Each week symbolizes a different part of our faith journey. We focus upon hope, love, and peace. And have we this Advent season truly become hopeful people, loving people, joyful people, or peaceful people? If not, what has prevented us from doing so, and how can we now effectively change in these last few days of Advent? Yet the time is coming quickly to a close, and the time for gathering for Christmas holidays with family and close loved ones will soon be arriving. And hopefully we are gathering with joyful anticipation of the birth of the Christ child, as well as Jesus coming again. When we gather with family and friends, will the time we have spent this Advent enable us to share with one another about how Christ is active in our lives, or how we vow to receive him differently? Have we changed at all? Do we really gather to celebrate the great news that Jesus is our Savior, or are we just once again going through the motions? I've read recently a quote from another minister as he shared reflections upon the Advent season leading into Christmas that I thought was particularly beautiful. He states, "Christmas happens as we open to the possibility of hope. When we live in the understanding of peace, and when we give love." He goes on to say that the joy that is Christmas, the birth of Christ, happens all the time, every minute of every day. And if I may paraphrase a little using my own words, the joyful anticipation of a lived Advent season of hope, peace, love, and joy must be lived throughout our daily lives, not just during the Advent season, in order that we may truly live out Christmas, the gift that is Jesus, each and every day. This joyful anticipation is reflected in the reasons chosen for the fourth Sunday in Advent. Throughout Advent, we focus on these prophecies, and we see how God's chosen people had a deep longing for the coming of the Messiah, as had been promised throughout all ages. The prophet Micah, who was a contemporary of the prophet Isaiah, foretells the coming of a great king from the house of David, who will rule his people with peace. "For from you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, will come forth a ruler for all Israel, whose family is from of old. He will rule with the majesty of the Lord. He shall be peace. My three daughters used to ask me over and over again, "Dad, what do you want for Christmas?" And my answer was always the same, peace. Now, in the past, I probably meant it more as a way of telling them that I didn't really want anything of a materialistic nature. But what that I really wanted was for there to be true peace on earth. No conflicts, no wars, no turmoil, no natural disasters. However, what I can now say, truly, after reflecting upon the words of Micah, is that I want to be more like Jesus, to be more like him, who is peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. When Jewish people greet one another with this word, they are reminding themselves that not only do they wish peace among each other, but they are also wishing that there will be peace between themselves and with God. In other words, that they are desiring to be in right relationship with God, who himself is peace. Micah goes on to remind us that what is required of each of us is that we are to live justly, to love tenderly, and to walk humbly with our God. This is the true message of Christmas, to live with each other and with God in peace, for God is peace. We are to live in justice, to love with our whole being, and to walk always with our God. This is the peace that you and I have been preparing for, or should have been preparing for this Christmas. Do we feel this sense of longing to be with our Lord this Christmas? If not, how can we open ourselves up to the Lord to experience this joy? The letter to the Hebrews sheds some light on this subject. God tells us that it is not sacrifices and oblations that he desires, rather that he desires each of us to open up ourselves to him. He wants us to prepare room for him to come into our lives so that we in turn can say to him, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will." And when we do his will, are we not truly walking with him in peace? Or will we, like the innkeeper who turns Jesus away, say there is no room for him in the interior of our hearts, and fail to experience the joy of being in his presence? And finally, in the story of the visitation, which we have just read from Luke's gospel, the evidence of the fulfillment of this longing comes to life for us. There are just four individuals present in this gospel passage: Mary, Elizabeth, and the two children in their wombs. And I have to question myself, and where were Zechariah and Joseph during all this? Now, truly, if you've been to Israel, you know that Joseph would not have allowed his pregnant wife to travel from Nazareth all the way to Judah. It's a rather arduous journey, and with her being pregnant, there's no way Joseph would have allowed her to go by herself. But Luke states that Mary, after receiving the word that she will bear God's son, heads off in the early stages of her pregnancy. She does so in haste to meet Elizabeth, who was in her sixth month. And immediately upon Mary's arrival in Elizabeth's home, the baby John leaps for joy in Elizabeth's womb, as did David when he danced before the Lord many centuries earlier. Now, can you just sense the joy of John, who himself is near viability? John, in Jesus' presence, begins to leap for joy. And later, John would know, like his mother Elizabeth knew, that the promises of old would all be fulfilled in Jesus' coming. John knew he would be the messenger of the one to come. And have we ever known this type of joy in our life, such peace that we just feel like leaping for joy? Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, then proclaims in a loud voice, "How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, can't you just sense Elizabeth's joy as well? Her joy and excitement was felt from within and manifested itself in her quite loudly. "Who am I to be so honored?" she thought. Now, I can never experience the true joy of a child leaping within the womb, but like most dads, I felt our children kick inside my wife's womb, and I longed for the day when they would kick in my arms. And what joy these events brought to me. But how do we experience this joy today? Isn't joy what our God wants us to experience this Christmas and every day that we're fortunate enough to take our breath? This is the joy of the Advent and Christmas seasons, regardless of what has befallen us this year or what may happen to us in the year to come. Mary's joy manifested itself in the beautiful Magnificat prayer, which is so beautifully prayed by the church every evening. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." It is a reminder that all of God's promises to his people have been fulfilled in Jesus through the yes of Mary. And Mary's immediate yes to the Lord reveals that she prepared a place for our Lord within her own body so that she could then deliver him to the whole world. And we, like Mary, are to prepare a place for Jesus to reside within our bodies, within our hearts, and within our souls. And then we, like Mary, must reveal Jesus to the world this Christmas, which is so desperately in need of his message of joy, his message of love, his message of peace, for he is peace. As we continue this Advent season, let each of us take the time to reflect upon our own preparedness, our own longings for God in our lives, and better yet, what type of vessel we are to become to spread his message of love and peace to all. And as we continue to celebrate Mass today, let us do so with great joy and excitement. Let's get those frowns off our faces. Smile. You are in God's presence. Focus on God's greatest gift to us, that is, that his only begotten Son, Jesus, has come and become flesh for the world, and that he has chosen to dwell among us and is present to us each and every day in Holy Communion. Now, my brothers and sisters, is the time to celebrate. The door of salvation is open for each of us. Shalom. His peace is within you. Amen.